Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I was introduced as a visitor. I don't feel like a visitor over here. I really don't feel like a visitor at all over here. This is part of my congregation. We've all been doing this. All of us have come up here, so I feel entitled to do that also. Just a little bit of adjustment. Poor sound guys, they go crazy when we do this, you know. So they have to adjust also. But I was told that this was the minister swap day. Mr. Knudsen went over to the northwest side, and I was sent over here so that we have a cross-pollination a little bit. So it's interesting. We're all in the same place. We're all of one. So it's interesting, and welcome to all of you out there on the, we don't do this on the northwest side, so I've got to think about that because I know a lot of you out there, and I appreciate that you can be connected when you can't be here. So even in Hawaii, this is amazing that this goes to Hawaii. But anyway, it is a good Sabbath day and glad to be here. So I was in the process of going through some things during the days of unleavened bread as we go through the house, and I discovered some long forgotten papers. I didn't even remember that I had these things. But one of the things that I found was a naval training course. I was in the Navy, and I went through some educational process there. Also, they do educate people in the military somewhat. But another thing that I found was a Liberty Pass. Now, those of you that have not been in the military, you might not know what that is. But when you're in the military, you're restricted to where you're assigned. You go where you're told to go. You are put into service in a certain place, and you don't just wander around and go do whatever you want to do. And if you're going to be off the base, or in my case, off the ship, you had to have a Liberty Pass. And it's a temporary card that is issued to those in military service. And if you're caught off the base, they look for people like this. If you're caught off the base or off the ship or whatever without a pass, without a Liberty Pass, you're in trouble, in serious trouble. But when I looked at this card that I hadn't seen for many, many years, the clarity of that card, what was the wording on that card, was amazing to me. And the clarity of the purpose that was on written on the back of that card. So we've just went through the spring Holy Day season, these days of unleavened bread and the Passover, of course. And we've just experienced this, and you might say, what in the world would that have to do with the days of unleavened bread or the Holy Day season in general? What would a Navy or a military Liberty Pass have anything to do with that? Well, I want to show you a connection, I believe. So every year we go through, we review, we go through the very plan of God, and we start season by season, incrementally, we build on it. And the very beginning thing, of course, that we do is review the absolute awesome sacrifice of Christ, and it shows God's great love that he has for us, and it is the absolute foundational beginning of his plan. Everything else, all the other holy days, are built on that and made possible by that sacrifice. And we should see that sacrifice has given us a certain type of liberty. We have been, if we look at it the right way, those of us that are called and accept that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, accepted that baptismal covenant that we have, we have seen that we have been put into a certain kind of service. We have been, if you want to use the analogy, we have been drafted to be in the service. And so we have, after we review these things every year, and as we originally take this step to make that commitment, we have at that time, we have to consider how we're going to use the freedom that we've been given, because we have certain blessings, certain gifts that have been bestowed upon us by that sacrifice. And it's important to understand how we should conduct ourselves, because what was written on the back of that Liberty Pass was a reminder to those that were given liberty for a time. They were in servitude, if you will. I think that most people that are in the service look at it that way. They're in bondage of one type or another. They're locked into a situation, and they're given a pass for a time to go out. And on the back of that card, it told you how you're to conduct yourself, what it is that you should do, what it is that you should remember, the special things that you're to do, understanding the service that you're in, understanding the awesomeness of, in this case, a material thing, a worldly thing, I guess we say. We're in the military service, people that are in there. But the point is that there is a spiritual analogy there also to consider, that we've made a commitment. We're in service to the eternal Creator God and His Son, who have asked us, if our hearts are stirred, we have to consider how we conduct ourselves. So I'm going to review some of those little instructions I have, kind of point by point, I guess you'd say. I'm going to use part of the little instructions as an introduction to certain things. And I think it's significant to understand how we use our liberty that we've been given also, because it was a very precious price that was paid for us. We were bought with a very precious price. And within that sacrifice and within that, the plan of God is a profound purpose. I wanted to read a quote, and most of you, I hope, have read it, but I want to read a quote from Mr. Don Ward letter, I've taken certain parts of it out, but it's some reminders that have a bearing on this. And quote, this is Mr. Don Ward, and his letter we all received just before the Holy Days. It all began with our calling through being convicted by the Word and the Spirit of God. We have the sure word and prophecy of the history of the faithfulness of God and Christ through the ages. We are a link and a chain of faithful men and women that have labored in fulfilling God's great plan and purpose, so we must not be weary in well-doing. What did I do? Run the battery out already? I don't know. It would be helpful if I could get another light because of condition of my eyes. But so I told you I looked at a naval training course, and I want you to understand something. I'm not trying to glorify the military service in anything that I'm saying. Thank you. I'm not trying to glorify military service, but they have a high standard of discipline. They have a high standard of doing things, and they do train their people. And you can tell that their people in the military are trained by how they carry themselves. But this was a statement that was within the prologue of the training course, and I think you might see the connection. Quote, your enrollment in this course represents a considerable investment by the Navy, or let's the analogy that I'm making, considerable investment by the God family. It is expected you will complete this course in the prescribed fashion, so the investment will not have been wasted. Now, that was the beginning of the manual, the training course. But I want you to consider, if you will, we've just left this very spring Holy Day season, and we're headed towards the day of Pentecost coming up not too long from now. But I want you to consider the meaning of those days that we've just came out of. And God wants us to complete the course that we're engaged in. He wants that investment that has been made, that price that was paid for us to be able to have this freedom, to be able to have that past wiped out, cleaned up. He wants us to complete that course that we've been called to. It's a considerable investment. And those reminders that are on the back of that Liberty Pass, I keep bringing that up, it mentioned things that we should consider also. It mentioned things about the calling that we have, the purpose of the country that we were serving, and the fact that it was a calling to service. And it mentioned the future. And it asked the people that were being given liberty to consider it very carefully, and the fact that they were representing the nation. So as I've said, we have to realize that we also have been given a type of liberty, and we have to remember all that's been done from us. And we have been put, if we look at it the right way, we have been put into service to God. We are in the service of our Lord and Master and our Heavenly Father. Let's look in Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, and beginning in verse 1, it talks about that. It talks about what we should do, how that we have to, as it says in verse 1, stand fast, therefore in the liberty what which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We were in bondage before we made that commitment, before we were baptized, before we had hands laid on us, before we made that compact to be in the service of God. We have to understand that. And there's a scripture that reminds us and warns us about the events that are coming ahead. And it reminds us about what manner of persons you ought to be. So one of the first things that was on the, one of the quotes that was on the back of the Liberty card said this, and I quote, "Strength and weapons are for the maintenance of peace," or to be at peace. I skipped a verse, and I'm breaking into the thought here, and I hope I don't confuse you too bad, but I skipped a verse that was in my notes, and I want to go back and read it in Galatians 5 before you turn to 2 Corinthians 10. But in Galatians 5 and verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." But then I would like for you to go remember the little quote that I made, "But strength and weapons for the maintenance of peace," it said on the back of that card. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10, we have to remember that we are in a battle. We are in God's service, and we are in a battle every day. There isn't hardly a moment goes by in some days that we have to realize that we are in a battle. But the point I'm making is this: the strengths that we have, what we have been given, the weapons that we have been given, and we do have weapons, and we are in a battle, but the weapons are for the maintenance of peace. Peace of mind, if you will. Peace between each other. Peace with God. And for the maintenance of peace for the future. Well, let's look in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare," as I said, we have warfare, "are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty." And I've got this underlined in my notes, "mighty in God." That is where our strength is. That is where all of the devices or all the weapons that we have in our warfare come from. "For the pulling down of strongholds Then I want to skip back on up in verse 3, and I'll read it again. For though we walk in the flesh, we are flesh, fleshly, we do not war according to the flesh. We don't do the things of society, the way that they have warfare, the type of competition they have, the type of warfare that governments plan and prepare for. For as I've read already, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And these are the strongholds that it's talking about here. The weapons that we're equipped with, the strength that we have from God, it says in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. We do need strength. We do need weapons to do that, to the obedience of Christ. As it says in Romans 12, 21, we're to overcome evil with good. That's how we overcome evil. And we do it with God's strength. But we're not free to do this liberty that we have. We're not free to do anything that we want to do. We can't just use the freedom that we've been given to go out and do whatever we want. We can't do that. The season that we just went through, we reviewed the difference between sincerity and truth and malice and wickedness. They're opposite ends. We have to understand that we must never go back. We must never go back to the way, those ways. We're to be very watchful about it. We're to be on our guard, so to speak, about the things that make peace, the things that bring peace. We're to be engaged in it, in maintenance of it. And we're to have constant vigilance about it, what it is that maintains peace. And we do that by doing the things that are in this word, doing the things that we're given by the strength of God that we're given to do it, by resisting the evil, the attitudes of mind that many people are engaged in. So we have to understand and comprehend how marvelous these weapons are that we have. We have to understand how important it is to use these, as I read in there, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, it says. And then beginning in verse 11, and it says, and if I will find it, in verse 11, I skipped my notes again. I'm sorry about that. Let's go to Ephesians 6. It was right there in my notes, and I was already reading it, but I wasn't there. So Ephesians 6, all of you probably said, well, he's reading Ephesians 6. But Ephesians 6 in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor, and again, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Again, I'm underlining that, emphasizing it, that you may be able, that is the only way that we may be able, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then it goes down, and it gives us the equipment that we're given. It gives us the things that we need to apply in this battle that we're in. And it begins in verse 14, having stand therefore. That's an important thing to Mr. Camerata mentioned about Gideon, how that Gideon stood up for what was right. But it's the same thing. Stand therefore. It doesn't mean don't lay down, don't fall down, don't run away, don't turn your back. You stand, you face it, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate, my tongue's tangled, breastplate of righteousness, in having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of these things, where do every one of these things come from? Every one of these things comes from God. And above all, take the shield of faith, a gift of God, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is how we do our kind of battle. This is how we stand up and be strong in the face of opposition. As I said, we overcome evil with good. And then take the 17 and take the helmet of salvation, which is something that gives us hope when we envision that hope of the future, when we envision the purpose, when we understand the purpose of our calling, and we have that hope about the future. And the sword of the Spirit, which is this book, which the words of truth, which is the word of God, it says on down in the verse. Praying always. We have no connection to maintaining that relationship. We have no connection to that source of strength without that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance, we keep after it. We have to. And with supplication for all the saints, because we see, we know that we are together. And we have to, in prayer, supplicate God, come before God's throne and ask Him to strengthen others, to strengthen those that carry the burden of responsibility, not just here in the local congregations that we have, but around this world, and especially those that have the tremendous responsibility at home office. It's important to understand that. And This is the watchword. They in the military, they have these what they call watchwords, or during this time, this is a word that you want to remember or think about. This is the watchword that we have in the time that we're in, the times that we're in, facing the things that we face. It's strength through God's power is the thing that we should remember. So there's another instruction that was on the back of that card, and it said this, I quote, "Tradition, valor, and victory is our heritage of the past, and to those we also may also add dedication." So the point I'm making there, I'm trying to make the connection with that written on the back of that card. Mr. Camarada again brought that up about, and it's in my notes, and I may skim a little other part of it, Mr. Camarada, but in Hebrews 11, we have this cloud of witnesses that we have that have gone before us, that have done all these things that they've done. And Mr. Ward's letter that I read a little excerpt out of explained that to us once again, this cloud of witnesses that we have that have done all these valiant things. This is our heritage, that we have all these people that we're connected to. And I'm going to read in Hebrews, I'm going to go back and this is not in my notes, so I'm going to add it, because Mr. Camarada brought that up about all of these people, Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and all these people that did these marvelous things. But Consider this also. And all of these, the people I mentioned, that he mentioned, and I'm going to add some things that they did. It says, whose faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. It's important that we see these things. They were still others in verse 36, had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony, some are recorded in this book in chapter 11, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we have to consider that. We have to consider that that's the heritage that we have. The military has this heritage, victory in battle and things like that that they talk about. But we have to uphold the noble tradition that we have also in the Church of God. We have to understand what we've been called to. We have to understand that the chain of events that has gone on through history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of these people that are mentioned in our Bible, it's a chain of events that's not of our making. We're called into something that is amazing. It's a blessing that's been given to us, this heritage that we've been given. Let's look in Romans 8. We have to understand and comprehend how significant and important it is that we're included with them, that we're a part of that. And as it said, they went through these things knowing, maybe not even knowing, that we would be added at a later date. But we have to understand where we get our strength, understand how we are conquerors, understand what it is, this tradition that we have and the heritage that we have. In Romans 8 and in verse 37, I'm turning into the wrong chapter in the Bible. It won't work if I do. Romans 8 in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing scary or anything that terrifies us, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've got to understand that that sacrifice that enabled us, that calling that we were given, the fact that we can say Christ is our elder brother, and that we, as I just read, are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Christ, our elder brother, is victorious. The kingdom will come. God's will be done on this earth. And we have to understand that we're preparing for that. We have to understand that that's the future that we have. We have to understand that that's why we do what we do. That is the purpose. We have a calling to service. We've been given this tradition, if you will, that we've been placed into. We might have chosen it after our mind was open and we had understanding, but we've been placed where we've been placed. We've been given a gift, a great and tremendous blessing. And we're admonished to continue to remember these things, to continue to go through that time period every year. And as we go through these seasonal events that we go through, these Holy Days series, every one of them directs us to concentrate or focus on one part of the plan. The foundation, Christ, is laid. A group of people have been called to put aside the things of sin, to put aside every little bit of it that's wrong and it's out, needs to be taken out of our life. And it is a lifetime pursuit. We are constantly in training. We're constantly being upgraded, if you will. We're constantly being directed back to the purpose. And that's what we have to remember. Another thing that was on the back of that card, which got my attention, it said this, and I quote, "Discipline and vigilance are the watchwords of the present." We have to be, as I've already went into it, we have to constantly be vigilant about the situation that we have, vigilant about our calling. And we have to consider how, if we do not keep it in mind, how important it is. If we don't remember the purpose, if we don't remember why, it can affect us greatly. So in Colossians 3, in verse 1, "So then, if you were raised with Christ, you came up out of that watery grave, and you made that commitment, seek those things which are above, seek the things that apply, and where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, he is our advocate, our high priest, our elder brother, who knows and understands the difficulties that we have. And set your mind on things above, and not on things on this earth." In verse 3, "For if you died," our old man, our old person, was in that watery grave, "your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears in you, also will appear with him in glory." We have to strive to live these things. Mr. Kubik said in a letter also just before the Holy Day season, and I think it's a profound thing to understand this. It is a powerful example when we do it, when we get it right, when we continue it. And we should be doing that all the time. We represent as ambassadors, as a witness to this world, that there are people that believe in a kingdom to come, that there are people that live. Be willing to live a different way. Be willing to live the way that we're, this way of life that we heard about a few days ago. We have to understand that we have been given that. In John 17, it says, we're not going to be taken out of this world. We are to live in this world, and we're to overcome evil with good. And the next thing it said on the back of this card is this, is we're to serve with pride. And I want to translate that word pride with humility. We're to serve with pride and confidence, or humility and confidence. Let's look in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, 6. I'm going to jump back to verse 5. "But Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of these things, which would be spoken of afterwards. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope from to the end." We have to know what's been done for us. It should give us a sense of confidence. We should trust that the preparation that we're being given, the training course that we're going through, if you will, in the service that we're in, we have to trust that it's what we need. And we have to understand that we're being trained for greater service in the future in the kingdom of God. Let's look in Philippians. Philippians 3. There's a couple verses here in Philippians that I want to read. Those of us that are in service have this manual we're to live by. We have the instructions that we're to live by. We have these things that we've been given that are how we live, how we walk that path, how we live by the Word of God. We live by these things that we've been given. Let's look in Philippians 2. I'm going to say that I made another mistake. I'm going to read Philippians 2, but for right now I want to be in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, 12. Philippians 3, in beginning in verse 12. "Not that I have already attained," the Apostle Paul said, "and or have already been perfected, but I press on." He didn't quit training, he didn't quit preparing, he didn't forget all about it or put it lightly, "that I may that I press on, that I may take hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. I, whenever I read that scripture, every time I read that scripture, I think about this, that I honestly think that that's what happened to me, because he took hold of me, and there was something happened and changed in my life. And Apostle Paul was struck down when he was on his way to Damascus. He was persecuting the church of God. He was a profound person at his time and his age, and he was struck down. And I think that, as he says here, Christ laid hold of him. But here he is explaining, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. He had a past that was unsavory in many ways, and most of us have something. Every day we probably have something that we would like to forget about of yesterday. And we have to constantly put those things behind us. Our thoughts, our projection is towards the future. We're asked to go forward. The foundation is laid. The plan is made. We're given the instructions. We're given the training. We're given the directions. We're given the weapons to do what we need to do. And we need to forget those things that are behind us. And we need to project our thoughts, the things that guide and direct us, the objectives that we have every day, the plans that we have. We need to reach forward, as it says, to those things which are ahead. And I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many are mature, and that's something to consider why that's in there, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. We have to understand he loves us. He wants us to complete the course. He wants that investment that was made, that price that was paid, to not be wasted on us. Personally, individually, he wants us in his family. He wants us to be there. And he wants us to see that the service that we're in now, the calling that we have, the place that we're at, that it's a vital, important thing for the future. And it says, and I read verse 15 and verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule as we understand and as we do it. Continue at it, and let us be of the same mind. We should all have the same goal, the same purpose, the same objective. We should be stirred by this and apply it day by day in diligence. We have to do that. So when I was in the Navy, they told me this. There's something you got to understand. We own you. Any of that's been in the military probably heard that. They do own you. But we have to understand and comprehend that that's the same relationship that we have. We've been bought. We are in God's service. A price has been paid for us. We have been redeemed from something that was sure death. We have to understand and comprehend that we belong to God in his service. We have to understand that. And we have to remember the sacrifice that was made, the example that we were given by Christ's life and what he has done. Now let's go to Philippians 2, and the next verse I have. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, and I look at you here in this congregation that way too, you all are in our hearts and our affection. We think about you and pray about you. And I can say that. I'm not a visitor here. Excuse me. As you have always obeyed, not in my presence. It's not, certainly not, I don't look at myself that way, the way the Apostle Paul was about the Philippians. But Now much more in my absence, we are individuals. We stand alone before God's throne. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to understand the seriousness, but we also have to understand the great strengths, the great powers, the great abilities that we're given, the things that come from God that we've been given. For it is God, it says in verse 13, who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He wants us to complete the course. He wants us to use the freedom that we have appropriately. He wants us to do what we're supposed to do. We have to apply ourselves with diligence. I've been apologizing about what I've been doing since I got started, and I don't know where I'm at in my time. This is a bad habit of mine. I've got to stop it. And I don't have any idea where I'm at in my time. But I'm just going to give you a scripture to look up this homework. I do that a lot. But 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. We have to understand that the trials that we face, the difficulties that we have, are for strengthening us and developing us. They're not to destroy us. They're not to bring us down to nothing, but we have to allow God to do that. We have to allow him to develop us. There are times, I know when I was in the military, there were times when they said, we're going to make you think that you will never make it through this, but you will. We know you will. We're going to help you do that. We're going to develop you. We're going to strengthen you. And even when we're corrected, even when we're directed to do something maybe we don't even want to do, we have to continue to see that God loves us and he wants us to be there at Christ's coming. So one of the next quotes that's on the back of the card, and it's just amazing to me because I don't know what's on the back of a Liberty Pass now, but this was on the back of my Liberty Pass when I was in the military to remember, quote, our service is to God and the country. That was on the back of a military pass. And it's our special privilege. We have a country that we're looking for too. We have a kingdom to come, the same one that Abraham looked for. We are in an alien world in some sense of the word. We are to be different than this world. We are to be ambassadors for that new world to come. And we have to look at it that way. Our service is to God and that country to come. And it is our special privilege to be there. Let's look in Colossians. There's one scripture in Colossians. Colossians 2. We should see it that way, as our special privilege and honor to serve this way. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Do the things that are service to God and to that country to come. Rooted and built up in him, there's that phrase again, there's our strength, there's our guidelines. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We, as I've said already, like Abraham, our spiritual forefather, look for something to come, a country to come. And we have to use our liberty appropriately. We have to continue to remind ourselves about the awesome goal that we have. Let's look in 1 Timothy 4. We can't neglect or take lightly these things. It's not that we don't have fun. It's not that we don't enjoy one another's company. It's not that we don't enjoy life. And it's all work and all training and all. It's not that way. But on the other hand, we cannot neglect or take lightly the privilege that we have. in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 14, do not neglect the gift that's in you, which has given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. And meditate on these things. He's speaking to Timothy, Apostle Paul was. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Mr. Tuck wrote in his letter this week at the beginning of the announcements about that. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. We have to continue to make progress in spiritual things. And take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them. For if you do this, you will save both yourself and to those to hear you. And that's not just speaking to Timothy, a minister, or just speaking to ministers. That's speaking to all of us. We have been given an opportunity to be an example for the people that we're around, our families and other people. And I do believe that people that we meet day by day, we run into, we have interchanges with, and we have this interaction with certain people. I don't think it's the last time we'll ever see them and have interaction with them either, especially our family. But it's important for us to understand the things that they hear from us or things that represent the country to come, the way that we live, the way that we think, the attitude and demeanor that we have, the positive attitude, the attitude of thankfulness about what it is that we've been given, the comprehension of the greatness of God's plan and the future that's ahead. Those words that we speak, those things that we speak of, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we carry ourselves, represent, as it says, we're in service to God and country, and it's our special privilege, and we should constantly see it that way. In 1 Timothy, excuse me, also, there's a couple things in Titus 2, and in verse 11, there's a couple things too. It's something to remember this. The future's in God's hands. It's not in man's hands. It's not in the military's hands. It's not in the other hands of anybody. The future is in God's hands. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live, as I said earlier, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. It is very good to envision the future ahead. It's very good to have these things stir our heart so that we can go forward and to be strong and courageous, to be zealous, as Gideon was, we heard about earlier. It should stir our heart to consider these things and to understand how important it is. The great plan of God promises us not just liberty for us today to be free of our sins, to be free of our past, and to have a clean conscience, to have freedom in that way. But the great God promises liberty for all of humankind in the future. Let's look in Romans 8. Go back to Romans 8 and read a couple verses there. We can't forget the example our elder brother has set for us. We can't forget what we've been given to do battle in the warfare that we have to do battle in. We have to understand the price that's been paid for us personally. It was a big price. And we're expected to finish the course. In Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Those people of the past, the heritage that we have, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and all the others that are there that we could list, they were given to see the need for a better and different world, a world beyond this one where righteousness will dwell. We have been instructed. We have been given the tools. We've been given everything that we need to go forward and do that, to live that way every day, and to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight, to be a people prepared. I think it says that. Right there on that plaque, it says that. A people prepared. A people are being prepared for the return of Jesus Christ in the kingdom to come. And we have to remember that. We've been given liberty. We've been released from the bondage that we were in. We've been promised a hope for the future and eternal life. We've been given all of these tools, all of these abilities. We have strength that God gives us. His power, His word, His faith. We have all these things to be given, to be busily preparing for the future that God is bringing about.